You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kashevin. Happy to be joined, as always, by Rhett Bollinger. And Rhett, you know, it wasn't long ago, you know, a month or so ago, we're sitting here talking about this awful start for the Twins, and here we go again with the rotation, especially. And going back now to April 15th, and granted that is a small sample, but I'd say it's still a big deal to the Twins, that they have the best starters ERA in the American League since that point. We talked a little bit about last week, but they just kind of keep rolling with these quality starts. Mike Pelfrey's been so good for them. He had some command issues on Sunday, but overall, he signed up for his numbers in a heartbeat. I wanted to talk a little about him and Kyle Gibson, who's starting to give them some consistency. So your overall thoughts on the rotation, and those guys in particular, I think they've been so key for them.
Yeah, it's been impressive. I mean, like you said, that first week, even, you know, Paul Molitor the other day, it was pretty much a disaster that first week. I mean, the pitching wasn't there. The offense wasn't there. A lot of defensive laps. It looked pretty ugly, you know, and obviously coming off those four seasons with 90 losses, you know, it's tough to think that this team is going to bounce back. But sure enough, they're already back above 500, you know, after 25 games, to be 13-12, and to complete a four-game sweep of the White Sox was definitely impressive. And you're right, the rotation has been holding its own. Pelfrey has been great. Like you said, on Sunday, got handed a 7-0 lead and couldn't really stay in the game with all the control problems he had. I think he ended up hitting three batters in one inning. But otherwise, you know, threw seven shutout innings against the Royals, threw seven solid innings against the Tigers. So these look pretty good. The fastball's up there in the mid-90s with plenty of sink and ground balls. His splitter looks good. Trevor May is a guy, too, that so far as a rookie has looked a lot better than he did late last year when he kind of came up and got those late calls in September. He definitely looks like he's got more poise now, cut down on the walks and the strikeouts are up. He looks kind of like the real deal now, finally, like, you know, the kind of the Twins were hoping all this time. It's good to see that for them. And then on top of that, you know, Nolasco's back. He looked kind of shaky in his first game back, but, you know, obviously he's a guy that's coming back from elbow issues, so that first start sometimes he was on a pitch count limit, that kind of thing. And Malone did okay before he got sent down. Obviously had a great first start, so at least they have some depth there in AAA with Malone. Obviously Alex Myers down there, one of the top prospects we talked a lot about, and he had a nice start the other day, pitching into the eighth inning for the first time in his career. So really, not only is the major league starting kind of, and obviously Phil Heath didn't talk about, but he's still kind of the best starter in the staff, kind of off to a slow start, but that's kind of how he's always been historically. But in general, yeah, that rotation so far, which is definitely one of the, you know, the kind of big keys to the season, considering the fact that the rotation last year finished with the worst ERA in the majors, definitely an impressive turnaround. So early, like you said, definitely so far the early returns are promising.
Yeah, were you surprised with the Malone move? I mean, somebody, they had to do something to bring Nolasco back in the mix there. Were you surprised Malone was the guy sent out?
Yeah, I was. I really was. I thought that maybe they'd send back down maybe Michael Tompkin or Ryan Presley, two of the guys they called up from Rochester who are definitely good right-handed arms and guys, the construction guys out, which is something that this bullpen definitely needs. So it made sense to call those guys up when Stauffer, you know, won the DL and all that. But I figured that maybe one of those guys is going to go back down and they're going to keep Malone in long relief. I think what they realized was there was really just not really much of a point in having Malone kind of toiling around in the bullpen where he might not really pitch very often. They're already kind of hiding, you know, J.R. Graham, a Rule 5 pick, in the bullpen with Malone, unless it was a game like maybe yesterday where Pelfrey only goes in the third inning. He really wouldn't see any action. And so they figure they might as well. They know he's a capable fifth starter. They might as well just put him at AAA because he had an option left. Let him be a starting pitcher down there. And like I said, if anything happens going forward, someone gets hurt, or even if Pelfrey kind of regresses and gets, you know, doesn't really keep it up with he looked like he did the other day, they could obviously make a switch there too. And obviously, Pelfrey, as we know, is supposed to start to get in the bullpen, but so far it's looked good. But if he ends up kind of bouncing back the other way and can't keep this up, you know, he's an option. So it's one of those things where if anything happens, at least now they have some insurance at AAA with Malone.
Is there any one adjustment Kyle Gibson has made to become, you know, more consistent at this level here this season?
Good for him, it's just location. You know, if he can get ahead of hitters, he can get them to roll over on that fastball. You know, he has that great sinker. I think, too, his changeup's gotten better. I think that's kind of been a big emphasis so far from the new pitching coach, Neil Allen. I think, in general, he's having guys sort of changeups more often and kind of incorporate them more. I think Gibson's always had a good one. but didn't really use it as much, you know, righty on righty. It was kind of one of those pitches, you know, you throw it maybe only against lefties, and I think it was more of a show-me pitch, whereas now he's kind of incorporating it more. And his slider's gotten better, too. I think the slider he can use to utilize, he had some pretty good strikeouts of Jose Abreu the other day using that slider, which in the past, you know, one kind of knock on Gibson's always been, doesn't really strike out guys for as good of stuff he has. So I think that if he can kind of continue to kind of get the strikeouts up a little bit, use his off-speed pitches to go in addition to his, you know, great sinker, I think we can start to see that consistent pitcher the Twins, you know, have been looking for a long time as a former top prospect. It's just a matter of him kind of rolling together these starts consistently. The last year with two flashes of it, you know, he'd throw eight scoreless innings against the team, and in the next game he'd be out of the game by the third inning, giving us a bunch of hard-hit balls. So I think this is right now, it's still early, so we don't know for sure they turn that corner, but like I said, so far, that's still good for Gibson as well.
You mentioned you know, the emphasis on changeup with Neil Allen, the new pitching coach, and I was talking with John Gibbons the other day just about the Tampa Bay Rays and how they just always field a good team, and he pointed to just how they always have the changeups, and that was obviously an emphasis of Allen there as well in that organization at the AAA level. But that's something, Rhett, that you know, it's going to take a long time, I'd imagine, to really see substantive results from that. But they do. They're definitely throwing them more from a starting standpoint. I looked up those numbers on Fangraphs, which is always helpful for this sort of thing. They're throwing about 1 or 2% more changeups, which, again, it's a small jump, but it's certainly a meaningful one given, you know, what Allen emphasizes there.
Yeah, you're right. It will take a little bit of time. And obviously, when you're doing a new, you know, kind of adding a changeup to your arsenal and kind of encouraging it, it's not going to happen right away, especially
right.
When you have some veteran guys that have been there, you know, in the last place, you have the guys. And Palfrey's throwing more of a splitter, which is, I don't know how it's classified on Fangraphs, but it's really more of a changeup type splitter type pitch that he throws a lot now, but he wasn't really throwing at all before. That's definitely one of the guys who definitely incorporated it for sure. But yeah, I think there's something I talked to Allen a lot in spring training about was just, like you said, the Rays, I think, threw more changeups into the organization, and the Twins really kind of ranked toward the bottom in terms of throwing changeups. So I think he just thinks it's kind of a great equalizer if they can kind of embrace that going forward. And keep some of the younger guys. Like you said, I think some of these guys in the minors, I'm sure it's going to be a philosophy kind of from the minor leagues on up. So we'll kind of see as it goes along here. But as you said, yeah, obviously we're only a month into the season, but even a couple percentage points is definitely at least notable.
Well, the Twins climbed over 500 by winning 7 of their last 9 as we record this. And, Rhett, I don't know about you, but I'm certainly surprised to look at the standings. Obviously the Tigers and Royals are battling at the top, but Twins are the only other team above 500. You know, a lot of us were pegging the Indians and White Sox for better things. Now, what's it going to take for them to sustain this and to be, you know, a team that really stays in the mix with the Tigers and Royals especially?
Well, I think the rotation has to keep it up. You know, like you said, you keep talking about these small sample sizes, but and it is, you know, and the rotation easily could. We've seen the rotation even in the bad years have good spurts, you know, a good couple weeks spurt of, you know, good success and good results, and then it kind of goes away. So they got to keep it up. I think if the rotation can keep it up, if Gibson can prove that he's made strides from last year and that, you know, if May can prove the same thing, and if Velasco can bounce back, if Hughes can kind of get back to the way he was last year, and if Palfrey can keep it up, and that's a lot of ifs I just said, but, I mean, so far those guys have done it. So far, if they can kind of keep that up, the offense really, outside of these couple games here against the White Sox, which were impressive, putting up a couple 7-run innings, you know, scoring 13 runs in their win on Sunday, the offense in general, though, hasn't really been as good as people thought it would be. I mean, I think last year,
right,
the offense was definitely the biggest key for the team, finishing 7th in the majors in runs scored. So far, the team really hasn't really clicked all the way. I think we're seeing signs of it now, but I think that once the offense gets going, if the pitching can kind of hold its end up, who knows, maybe the Twins do kind of hover around 500. It's just one of those things where there's a lot of things that have to happen, but so far the pitching's so encouraging that you have to figure, just based on the guy's career's norms, you know, you got to figure the offense is going to be better going forward. I mean, no one really is hitting above their career averages. Even Maurer, who's having a good start to the year, and even Plouffe, who's having a good start to the year, aren't really outperforming their own career numbers or anything. So really, just kind of on the law of averages, you'd figure that these guys are going to get going a little bit more as a team and individually, and the offense will get better. It's just a matter of if that pitching can hold up. And if that's the case, then yeah, maybe this team can hang around here, because definitely it was impressive for them to go from, you know, 1-6 to 13-12 so quickly, especially with, you know, playing well at home has kind of been their big key so far. But really, truthfully, in the past couple of years, they've played really poorly at home. So it's definitely kind of a different time to see them play well at Target Field. And so far this long homestand, it's definitely been that the case.
And on that note about the offense, it seems like the league has caught up to Kenny Vargas a little bit. You know, did some nice things for them down the stretch last year, of course. The guy we were pretty excited about, Little Pappy. A lot of people want to call him that and see him trend in that direction. But just three extra base hits here so far, 565 OPS. What do you think is going on with him?
Well, that's one of those things. I think you are right in terms of the league kind of catch up to him a little bit. He's always been kind of a free swinger, even in the minors. Wasn't a guy that walked a ton. And the big thing we talked about, I think, before was in winter ball, he struck out, you know, fewer times than he walked. He walked more than he struck out. Kind of started improving his patience, thought maybe that would carry over. And so far, it really hasn't. He's still swinging at way too many pitches outside the zone. He did show some signs recently, though. I think he had a long home run there on Sunday to dead center field and just kind of looked a little more comfortable, I think. And I think they've been kind of giving him days off here and there to kind of clear his head. And then the last week, he started to kind of come out of that slump a little bit. But, yeah, it's going to be important for him because if not, the Twins are probably going to have no choice but to option him. The good news is they have, you know, Jose Pinto at AAA, who's been hitting really well all year, and he could easily serve as a DH/backup catcher type if they were to decide to send Vargas down. I think right now the Twins are still trying to – are still hopeful that Vargas and even, you know, Danny Santana, who also has kind of been heating up a little bit recently, are both going to bounce back because obviously they're both so good as rookies last year. But so far, yeah, I mean, the results, they're both striking out way too much. I don't think Danny Santana's drawn a walk yet. So as long as these guys can get it going in the short term, I think that the Twins are going to kind of be patient with them. But I do think that if it doesn't happen quickly, I think we can see either one of those guys maybe even sit down in the minors.
Yeah, as we sit here today, they don't have a walk out of the shortstop spot, which is one of the more crazy but true things from this early MLB season. And crazy but true, but the Twins are over 500. The Astros are in first place. Red, I want to live in a world where the Astros and Twins are playoff contenders. I think both,
yeah, pretty amazing. Last year, I think they both went, 70 and 92, and now they're both above 500.
Yep. Yeah, it's great to see. So I want to thank Red for talking about all that. We'll join us again next week, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.